The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The following program may contain detailed testimonials of domestic violence, childhood sexual abuse, rape, and/or psychological abuse. If you experience a trigger while listening to this broadcast, please visit the links on our host page for helpful resources. If you or somebody you know has experienced domestic violence or psychological or sexual abuse, the next hour could be the most important one this week. This is Abuse Survival Stories presents I Reclaim My Voice with your hosts, Reese Zigazaga and Denise Watkus. Our program features survivors that share their stories of abuse and the healing journey. Join us as we work toward ending the silence on which abuse thrives. Now, here are your hosts.
While I give credit to the trauma of the Canadian winter for the manifestation of my stutter, while I pretended that I was all right and the scars had healed, while I eyed women like they were men to me, while I still treated her like the protective family she had failed to be, why I have confronted the abuser many times in my mind, but never confronted the abused inside of me.
Hello and welcome to Abuse Survival Stories presents I Reclaim My Voice. I'm your host, Reese Zigazaga.
And I'm your co-host, Denise. You can reach us at AbuseSurvivalStories.com. Also, make sure to connect with us on Twitter under the name Survival of Abuse and on our Facebook page, Abuse Survival Stories. You can find the links to all of our past shows on our host page at VoiceAmerica.com, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. You can also email us at radio@AbuseSurvivalStories.com.
So when the show opened, you heard a clip from a very powerful poem called Forgiveness by a talented poet named Lemoy. At the end of the show, we'll play the full poem for you. Right now, I just want to encourage you all to mark your calendars. We are so excited to announce that on March 19th, we are going to have Grammy Award-winning artist Maya on our show talking about overcoming obstacles in her life. She is an amazing person and very supportive of the Abuse Survival Stories movement. We're looking forward to speaking with her next Thursday. So joining us on our show today, we have another amazing and inspiring woman, childhood sexual abuse survivor and founder of Three Little Birds, Aisha Murray, who will be discussing the amazing work she's doing.
Hello, ladies.
Aisha. Hi, Aisha.
Hi.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the show. So I just wanted to let the listeners know a little bit about you. Aisha is a full-fledged, no apologies, into the trenches woman survivor advocate, and she's also the founder of a wonderful nonprofit organization called Three Little Birds. And when she has been planning for her twice a year pop-up shop event for Three Little Birds, she's collecting gently used and or new clothing and accessories in support of her smaller and more personal project initiatives. So she collects baby diapers, women's accessories, perishable foods, women's casual and business attire, and more. And you can read more about and watch her journey with Three Little Birds at facebook.com/3, and it's spelled out THREELBS. And you may also email her at 3_LBS, and 3 is also spelled out again, at hotmail.com for information on donating. So once again, Aisha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Denise, and thank you for that that promo there. I appreciate that.
So Aisha, can you tell us a bit about what happened to you as a child?
Absolutely. So we're going to go back, 33 now, so back when I was 5 years old, took my first plane trip to the beautiful island of Tobago, Trinidad and Tobago. I was preparing to go to my great-grandfather's funeral. So when we got there, I was traveling with my mother, my sister, who's a baby at the time, and my grandmother, as well as my grandfather. We were staying with my grandfather's brother, sorry, my grandmother's brother. And I, when we got there, I instantly connected with my cousin who lived in the house as well. She was older, I'm going to say maybe she was about 16, 17. We connected. She did my hair. She took me to the market. She gave me candy. You know, she was like a big sister. So I remember one incident, one night is what I can remember. And I can only remember a few memories from my childhood. So this is one memory that sticks out to me. We were sharing a bed, laying on our backs. I remember every single detail of the room that we were sitting in, laying in at 5 years old. And she began to touch me in my genital area. Then she took my hand and wanted me to touch her. So I did. And it wasn't just masturbation. She actually penetrated me at 5 years old, with her fingers. And that was my first, sexual experience.
And, you were very young, and from what you remember, how did this situation make you feel at the time?
I remember feeling scared was my initial reaction and thinking, is this right? It felt funny, not to mention painful, but at first it felt funny. It felt, and I felt guilty for feeling this, but it did feel good. When I touched her, definitely terrifying. I just felt like what was happening was somehow wrong, but just too terrified to really react in a way to let her know that it was wrong, although I'm pretty sure she knew it was.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, it's you mentioned that it, you didn't want to, I guess, but it felt good. And you know, we had our show last week on, or sorry, we had the abuse survival stories about the cloak of shame. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things that definitely keep us quiet is that our bodies, you know, in a way, they act the way they're supposed to.
Exactly.
So they kind of betray your mind. And so I'm really glad that you brought that up.
Yes.
Aisha, so the perpetrator was of the same sex. We don't
yes.
really hear a lot about that.
Yes.
But based on the experiences that you have shared with others and that you've heard others share, do you feel as if the effects of abuse perpetrated by someone of the same sex differ from when the abuser is of the opposite sex?
I can only imagine so. Like, for me, I've found that it's a very taboo topic, right? And there's very little reliable data out there on the prevalence of sexual abuse by women to other women, so female-to-female abuse. It's almost impossible to come by, even though it is out there. I found that sexual abuse, just by listening to different stories, sexual abuse by women to women or females can be just as devastating as abuse by men. So for me, I can say I struggled with depression, destructive behaviors, anger. I wanted to pretty much shrink myself. I had very low self-esteem. You know, there's no question that there are serious after effects of female perpetrated sexual abuse. I feel that not only does this kind of violation create more profound shame, but it does point, it does so to the point of most victims staying silent. You know, I've told my story at Abuse Survival Stories and, you know, my own events and maybe a couple of other events, but each time I experienced shame. There's a shame there. There's a different kind of shame. You know, some of my closest friends still don't really know my full story. Mm-hmm. I know in speaking with other female survivors, abused by women, we often struggle with, you know, sexual orientation. I never experienced that, but I did struggle with maintaining close relationships with female friends. I have many close female friends today, but ran from the idea at first, especially in my early 20s. I had close girlfriends from high school, my sister, who's my best friend, my cousins, but refused for a while to meet new girlfriends and felt more at ease with around males. I saw a woman as a threat, not like a jealousy threat, but more like a serious threat to my well-being.
Hmm.
Also in my teens and early 20s, I could say I was homophobic, but only towards lesbian couples. It made me feel ill, and I didn't realize until much later that my intolerance was actually my deep anger over my experience. So I guess that, it is different. It definitely is different.
That's definitely, it's not something I ever thought of, so I'm really glad that you touched on that. So how long did the abuse go on for? I know you said that you only remembered, you have a memory of one incident, but how long did the actual abuse go on for?
You know what? Who really knows? But I know, I remember that one time. And I only remember that one time. And then after that, I don't remember what happened except that we came back here and I told my mom. So I guess that's me just subconsciously shoving everything to the side, just disassociating myself with the event. But I can say that it happened once to my memory.
Wow, and all it takes is one incident to dramatically and profoundly impact someone's life. And, you know, you shared some very personal things just now, Aisha, and I really want to say that we appreciate that. I know it's not always easy to discuss these things, but in doing so, we really let others know that they're not alone. So
absolutely,
much, much appreciated. We've come to a break. When we come back, we'll discuss the aftermath of abuse in Aisha's life. In the meantime, reach out to us on Twitter at Survival of Abuse and use the hashtag I Reclaim My Voice to let us know if you're tuned in and maybe how you've reclaimed your voice. We'll see you in 3 minutes.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Abuse is an epidemic that thrives on silence. It's time to reclaim our voices. Abuse Survival Stories is an event series which celebrates men and women who have experienced various forms of abuse while providing them with a platform to share their stories and help shatter the silence on which abuse thrives. Featuring raw survival testimonials, powerful spoken word poetry, and creative expression exercises. Abuse Survival Stories is a positive experience which uplifts both the mind and the soul. If you are interested in bringing an Abuse Survival Stories event to your city, please contact us at radio@abusesurvivalstories.com and let's put an end to suffering in silence.
It's time to take a fresh look at your life. But where do you start? Your world has thousands of possibilities that are waiting to be explored. Find out how you can discover your possibilities by tuning in to Fresh Start with Sue Williams-Braun. Midlife is a turning point in your journey. It's a time to take off the blinders and find what has meaning for you. Our guests include experts and inspiring people who are making their middle years count and will inspire you to do the same. Fresh Start airs live Fridays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to Abuse Survival Stories presents I Reclaim My Voice. To reach our show today, please call in to 1-888-346-9141. Again, that's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to radio@abusesurvivalstories.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back. We're here with Aisha Murray, childhood sexual abuse survivor and founder of Three Little Birds. Aisha, we were talking with you about the abuse you experienced as a child at the hands of a female. So, to continue, as your life went on, what were the, you spoke a little bit about some of the effects, but what were the after effects of the abuse as time went on?
Where do I start? Do you guys have the time? Okay, well, first, I guess one of the biggest things I remember growing up, not really looking at my body and being ashamed or even repulsed by my body and images of female anatomy. I say really began to look at myself probably in my mid to late 20s. I was afraid of how I'd react, afraid of what I'd see, afraid of remembering. Pretty much ashamed of my femininity. I can never say that word. I felt like a reject of nature. I felt like damaged goods. You know, I had a stigma around me or something like that. I sometimes still feel that way, but I know how to check myself now. You know, you get those little voices, oh, she was sexually abused and by a woman. That means she must be attracted to women. Or, oh, my God, I cannot leave her with my child. You know, female-to-female child sexual abuse has created a lot of questions for me. I often wonder, is this why I've decided not to have children right now? Or would I even be a good mother? So those are the things that I think about. And I also had the fear of not being believed. One of my biggest peeves is now when I say something and I'm not believed. That really, really irks me. I've made huge steps to heal my fear of self-expression. I discovered how liberating it is to speak and express myself without worrying if I will be believed or if I'll lose friends and family. Or if I anger a certain group of people, because I stayed quiet for way too long. And I always remember the quote, the butterfly is proof that you can go through tremendous darkness yet become something beautiful. And I think I'm on the path of becoming something beautiful amongst all that pain. I guess I'm finding my voice, in other words. I'm getting over the shame. Being honest with myself, being honest with my family. I remember, you know, having to overcome the shame and telling my dad. I was ashamed to tell my dad of what happened to me because I was afraid he would look at me as damaged goods. So I just really had to get healthy physically and mentally.
Wow. So I remember you said that you told your mom when you got back. Did you find that easier then because she was a woman?
You know what? It was easy for me because I was a talkative child and I didn't hold anything back. So I did tell her right away. She told me right away. I think what hurt the most is that I wasn't heard and nothing was done. She did the best she could. At the time, and I realize that now. I grew up very angry at my mother. But the most painful thing was telling the people who were supposed to protect you. And I just didn't tell her. I told a few other family members, and nothing was ever done. You know, nothing. Not to put anyone on the spot, but till this day, I'll have, you know, people who know what happened to me, and they know about my organization, but they won't actually ask me about it, ask me how it came about. And that's the part that hurts sometimes the most.
Definitely. You know, I actually was thinking about that today, about, you know, not really getting support that from certain people that you expect to get it from. And I sometimes wonder if that's because they feel guilty.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think so. Like, my mother is my biggest supporter. Just to clear that, we've had our conversation, and she acknowledges what happened to me. But I do think it's shame. I think it's shame and not knowing how to deal with it. I know in the West Indian culture, it can be a very taboo topic. You just deal with it. Oh, I was raped. You know, I was raped. You were raped. That's okay. It's not okay, but we're not going to conversate about it. We don't have the tools to deal with it. So you're just going to sit there and forget about it type of thing.
So what would you say was one of the biggest challenges then for you in moving on?
Just knowing that I didn't need anyone's validation. I didn't need anyone to acknowledge what happened to me. Because all in all, guys, what happened to me means nothing. It means nothing. What means something is how I recover. What do I do after this? What are the next steps? Am I gonna sit and wallow in this? Oh my God, this happened to me. What am I gonna do? It, not to minimize what happened, but it means nothing at the end of the day. It's how I pick myself up and move on after this.
Wow. What has helped you in getting through the challenges and moving on, as you said?
Things like this, guys. Things like talking about it. You think I could have done this 2 years ago? I would have been, you know, crying, and not that crying, anything's wrong with crying, but there's no way I could have done this if I hadn't started talking about it. And one of the first places I told my story was at your event, Reese, and I have to thank you for that, because it really helped me move along. It really, really did. And my mom came out and she heard me. It was great. Yes. So talking and having people actually hear me and listen.
That's incredible. Actually love to know what happened after the event. Your mother heard your story. Was there a conversation that happened once you left?
Oh my gosh, she was bawling. She was like, I've never seen you in that light. I've never seen you. She basically said in such a vulnerable moment, I was just so strong. And she heard me and she felt my pain, but she thought it was the most beautiful thing ever. And just to have her there and to have her support meant everything to me, because it was like picking up from where I left off as a child, you know, telling the story and having nothing happen. But now I'm telling my story and I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it for myself. I don't need anyone to validate my story, but just to have people there and listening and supporting you, like in a non-judgmental environment, it really lifted me up. So I do thank you guys for that very, very much.
That is awesome, and I love your message, because I truly, truly believe that in all of this, if we can just let people realize or help them to realize that there is beauty in your ashes.
Absolutely. You
know, there really is.
Absolutely. I agree. Absolutely.
Beautiful. So what would you say then was your first step on your healing journey?
I attended a self-help group. I don't know if I can say the name of the group on air. I'll leave it alone for now. But I went, and I did not want to speak. I just wanted to go, you know, get a few tips, and okay, I'm out, and I'm good. I don't know what came over me, but I stood up in front of 150-plus people and told my story. Snot coming out of my nose, water running down my face. It was nasty, but I think that was my first step in being honest with myself, because I acknowledged that I had an issue. I had a problem. There was something inside of me that was taking fucking the life out of me. And if I hadn't gone to that self-help program, I don't know where I'd be today, for sure.
Incredible. What is something that you've learned being in the this strong place that you're in, and looking back, what is something you've learned from what you've experienced? And I know there's been a lot.
There's been a lot, but I think the most important thing is that sexual abuse is usually understood as something bound up with issues of male aggression and power. And this is not always the case. Usually female perpetrators are someone close to you, I've learned, someone you trust. I learned that women can also exert the same power and express the same aggression. Viewing sexual abuse as solely as a tool of patriarchy, I think, would prevent some victims from actually getting help, especially children. We stereotype women as nurturing and men as dangerous, and this just isn't the case. So I learned the biggest lesson. Abuse can occur in unexpected places, and we need to recognize violence by women as well, which is really, really important to me.
Definitely.
What was one of the most profound things you've discovered about yourself while going through this journey?
That I was a very angry person. I learned that I was confrontational. Sometimes I still am, and I have to really check myself. But I learned that I'm strong, even when I'm weak. I've learned that I can actually be loved after all of this. People like me can actually still be loved. I learned that I didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't my fault. And I think that was the biggest thing in learning about myself.
That's powerful. We're just 1 minute going into break. I just wanted to ask you really quickly, what sort of things would you say contributed to your healing?
Family, friends, meditation, just spending time with myself. I felt like I always had to have people around me to prevent me from thinking too much, and I was afraid to be alone, got myself involved in really messed up situations. And I've learned as I'm getting older that I need time alone sometimes just to take care of me, because I'm the only one who knows how to do that.
Definitely. And are there any positives that you've taken away from what you've experienced?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, I have three little birds, and I've met you guys through everything. Like I said, I've learned how strong I am. Having gotten up the courage to really have conversations that I think I should be having, but I know that I have the strength within me to do it when I'm ready. So I think a major positive is just knowing that I'm capable of anything.
That's an amazing thing to be aware of. We're going to go to a break now. And when we return, we're going to talk to Aisha about her organization, Three Little Birds. We'll see you in 3 minutes.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
When is the last time you saw sparkles of life in your day? Each day holds a treasure, the extra in the ordinary. It is too easy to miss them because they're familiar and we take them for granted. If you want to add sparkle to your day, listen to Mighty Gems, Spotlighting Everyday Jewels with Dee Lee. She offers a new way to view the world and to discover your own mighty gems in daily life. Listen Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
If you're a free thinker, a seeker of truth, and a lover of stimulating literature, then you will find all that you need in just one powerful book, The God Behind the God, the second book by critically acclaimed author Arian Herbert. Many are saying that this new book is absolutely outstanding, thought-provoking, even mind-blowing. Get your copy of The God Behind the God now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Chapters Indigo, or visit thegodbehindthegod.com. Seek within until you discover
The God Behind the God.
Are decisions at the leadership level determined by influences of external factors? Discover by tuning into From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, The Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. Science reveals that decisions are made subconsciously based on emotions and learning, which occurs before one is aware. So take a chance. Open the door. Reframe your critical decisions with proven successful strategies. The Boardroom to the Bedroom. Tune in every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Abuse Survival Stories presents I Reclaim My Voice. To reach our show today, please call in to 1-888-346-9141. Again, that's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to radio@abusesurvivalstories.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back. We were just talking with Aisha Murray about healing from abuse. Aisha, you're the founder of Three Little Birds. And before we talk about the organization itself, let's discuss the journey leading up to the point where it was founded. How did Three Little Birds come to be?
Well, it's something that I've always thought about doing, always giving back. And I remember shooting ideas at my sister throughout my early 20s and never really got to it. It wasn't until I started that self-help program that I spoke about in 2012, it just lit something inside of me, like I have to do something. You know, we were talking about not wallowing in despair and, you know, getting up off your behind and doing something, you know, with the tragedy that you've experienced. So I said, you know, this is a great opportunity for me to actually do something, just feeling inspired. So on September 29th, 2012, I decided, some things you just do on a whim, and that's what I did with Three Little Birds. I decided to start this charity.
And can you tell us a bit about Three Little Birds?
Absolutely. So it's Three Little Birds Three Little Birds is a song by Bob Marley, and the lyrics really, really stuck with me. It's just a happy song, and I'm like, Three Little Birds, perfect. It's a nonprofit charity, and it's pretty much dedicated to female abuse survivors, and I decided to help female abuse survivors of all types of abuse. So our aim is to help and support females and adolescent females who struggle with attaining the everyday necessities of life, such as clothing and simple necessities. One of our priorities is to reach out to women who face the highest risks of abuse. So this would include women with disabilities, women who are new to the GTA, refugees, visible minorities, and women who are from the First Nation, Métis, and Inuit communities. These are the groups that face extremely high levels of things like domestic violence, poverty, and sexual exploitation. So I kind of started this initiative project in Toronto. I've now moved it to Durham because that's where I'm located. And like I said, we cater to survivors who've experienced forms of abuse. And I've learned that there are other types of abuse. You know, when you're suffering or when you're recovering from your own abuse, you're thinking you're alone and no one will understand. Lo and behold, there are other types of abuse. So there's psychological abuse, sexual abuse, which is the one I experienced, financial abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, drug abuse, emotional abuse, and all of its other forms. Mm-hmm. An important aim for Three Little Birds is to provide a positive space where survivors may have access to free clothing, donated by the public. So I have very generous friends. You two have donated. Thank you so, so much. Friends of friends have donated. Fellow employees, thank you so much. I collect accessories, clothing, diapers, and toys. And I pretty much set up shop at a location and have women from agencies, women's programs come in and have a shopping day, a spree day, like pretty much for free, no questions asked. So that's pretty much what it is. It's just a service for women, by women, and a few courageous men, because I've had men actually come out and volunteer. Thank you, Justin, Jay, and Gopi, and activists who have come together to provide support in the name of celebrating survival.
That is absolutely wonderful. You know, we always think about, you know, a woman, she should leave, or she has to take her kids, you know, she should just pack up and leave, but the packing up doesn't always get to happen, so sometimes you escape with just the clothes on your back, and it's awesome that there's somewhere to turn, like Three Little Birds, who's out there offering to clothe these women. I really applaud you and commend you for coming up with something like that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's all my donors, really, because I couldn't have done this without people donating. I don't have that much clothes, so I really appreciate those who put in the effort to actually collect things and donate them. I can't tell you guys how appreciative I am for you guys supporting my dream. So thank you.
And so can you briefly describe your involvement in the healing of female survivors?
Mm-hmm. I think the healing part in doing these types of programs is that I'm able to bring female survivors together, right? When I was going through my own problems, I felt very isolated. I felt very alone to the point where, you know, I decided to try and take my own life. So I think it's really important at my events that we're brought together, creating a sense of community and breaking a sense of isolation, just so that we can hear each other and support each other and just give each other that extra push to keep on moving.
I think it's wonderful that you keep mentioning about hearing each other. That's so huge, and I really
yes.
do. Yeah, I agree with you on that. And so besides Three Little Birds, what other related or common organizations have you been involved with?
I want to give big shouts out to New Circles. They're a really wonderful organization who have a similar framework as I do, but they help families. So men, women, children, everyone, they really supported me. They've also donated to Three Little Birds. Thank you, Nita and Poppy. I'm involved with the YWCA. I know many women from their programs come out to the Three Little Birds event. And thank you, Reese, for putting me onto them as well. And Fred Victor, the Housing Community Project, which also support Three Little Birds, and I'm just really grateful for those three organizations.
Amazing. Both Denise and I were able to attend one of your pop-up shops, and there were clothes on clothes on clothes. It was such a beautiful thing to see.
I want to ask you,
what are some of the positive outcomes you've seen of your events and your pop-up shops?
I really liked to see the woman connecting. I don't know, like I just had to stand back for a minute and just watch the interactions. And it also made me feel good that I was able to do that in my overcoming my hatred for women phase and overcoming my own experience. I'm able to help others, and it gives me goosebumps whenever I think about that, because never in a million years did I think I'd be able to do that out of something so ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the most positive things that I've witnessed.
It's so profound because you mentioned, you know, hatred for other women and or fear mm-hmm. of other women. And, you know, you had such a negative experience with a woman, and here you are creating these positive connections.
Yeah.
Absolutely
exactly.
Gorgeous. When will you be collecting donations again, and what types of donations are accepted?
Yes, so I will be collecting donations hopefully by the summer. I'd like to plan something for the summer before I get really busy. I've been running more personal type donations instead of the really big ones that I've had in the past. So just kind of one-on-one delivery type services. The types of donations, and I must really, really stress this, either gently used or new items. These are women who, you know, appreciate the donations, but, you know, they have dignity as well. So anything that's in good condition, diapers, accessories, canned food even. So accessories meaning deodorant or, you know, costume jewelry, makeup, shoes, anything that's presentable, pretty much. No kitchen items, though, or bigger items, because I don't have storage at the moment, but anything that's easy to transport.
And I know that there have been points where your home, you filled, you know, you had to store all the stuff you were getting, and you had so many bags in your home.
Yes. Yes,
you're giving up your own space to have this happen. That's amazing.
I also wanted to make quick mention that at a place that I was previously working at, one of the employees there had a fire in his home, and he lost all of his things and his children, his kids. I think he had 3 children, and a couple of them were under the age of 1. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to Aisha, and she just, no hesitation, we met, and she just gave me, when I walked in with all of the Panthers, they were so amazed, and, you know, we were really, really grateful for that. So really appreciate what Three Little Birds is doing for women and for the community in general. It's truly a beautiful thing.
Thank you, Denise. Thank you.
So right now we're going to go into a break. Don't forget to reach out to us on Twitter at Survival of Abuse using the hashtag #IReclaimMyVoice. Let us know how you reclaimed your voice, and let us know what you think of the show so far. We'll see you in 3 minutes.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
Abuse is an epidemic that thrives on silence. It's time to reclaim our voices. Abuse Survival Stories is an event series which celebrates men and women who have experienced various forms of abuse while providing them with a platform to share their stories and help shatter the silence on which abuse thrives. Featuring raw survival testimonials, powerful spoken word poetry, and creative expression exercises, Abuse Survival Stories is a positive experience which uplifts both the mind and the soul. If you are interested in bringing an Abuse Survival Stories event to your city, please contact us at radio@abusesurvivalstories.com, and let's put an end to suffering in silence.
If you're a free thinker, a seeker of truth, and a lover of stimulating literature, then you will find all that you need in just one powerful book. The God Behind the God, the second book by critically acclaimed author Arian Herbert. Many are saying that this new book is absolutely outstanding, thought-provoking, even mind-blowing. Get your copy of The God Behind the God now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Chapters Indigo, or visit thegodbehindthegod.com. Seek within until you discover
The God Behind the God.
We're on Facebook, along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Abuse Survival Stories presents I Reclaim My Voice. To reach our show today, please call in to 1-888-346-9141. Again, that's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to radio@abusesurvivalstories.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back. We were just speaking with Aisha about her foundation, Three Little Birds. So, Aisha, what does the future look like for Three Little Birds?
The future. If I had a crystal ball, I see Three Little Birds having a permanent location where I don't have to rent trucks and equipment to transport all the donations that I have. So that's my next goal, to have an actual center where women can just drop in and grab whatever they need. That's wow. My next step.
Put that out there.
Yes, positive vibes.
And how about you? Is there anything in the way of personal development that you're currently working on or want to see yourself working on in the future?
I think it's a never-ending process, right, when you're a survivor. So just maintaining healthy relationships, continuing with that, realizing that being alone with myself at times is okay. And, yeah, I think that's major, relationship with myself and relationship with others, working on that.
Definitely.
And what message do you have for survivors who can relate to what you shared with us today?
Oh my goodness. Talk. I keep saying it, but honestly, if you don't know what to do, if you don't know where to go, speak to someone, find someone, speak into an empty phone, but just even write it out. Just get it out. I found that when I held everything inside, it took a part of me each day. Every day I stayed silent. So if you have the opportunity to speak to someone, please, 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 please just do it.
I want to go back just briefly to something you said earlier. When you were talking about Three Little Birds, you mentioned that it was from the lyrics of a Bob Marley song. Mm-hmm. I know that maybe not everyone is familiar with mm-hmm. the lyrics. So can you share with us exactly what lyrics
Absolutely.
It was that inspired you to name the organization?
So, can I sing? Okay.
Please.
Don't worry about a thing, 'cause every little thing, it's going to be all right. And you know what? Everything is going to be all right.
It is. I told you this story, but I was traveling, and in the cafe I was sitting in, that song came on, and I thought of you and everything you were doing, and it all came together, and I just sat there crying because I was so moved by it. Like, you are such a beautiful person, and I've seen you stand up and speak publicly about the abuse you've experienced a few times now, and each time I see you open up and go more and more into detail.
Yeah.
And I'd also asked you to be involved with the I Reclaim My Voice video campaign that we're working on. And I gave you the heads up and I said, you know, once something is on the internet, it's out there possibly forever. And you responded, good, I hope it stays out there forever. Why have you chosen to speak so openly about the abuse you experienced?
Yeah. It's going to help someone. Right? I wish I had someone at the time when I was going down my slippery slope to nothingness. I wish I had, and I did have someone, but I wish I had someone who I could relate to. You know, it's just easier when you hear more stories out there. I didn't know there were other types of abuse until I started coming out to your events and hearing about these other types of things that were happening or doing my research. So I'm hoping that my words will reach out to someone and save them, help them, and realize that everything's going to be all right.
Love it, love it. You sang on our show. That was so beautiful.
Album coming out soon.
So gratitude can be a great tool for keeping us growing in a positive way. Namie, if you could just break it down to one thing, what do you say that you're very grateful for in this moment right now?
In this moment, I'm grateful for all the relationships that I formed with other women, other women survivors, who have ironically given me the most strength that I've needed to get through the darkest times. You, Reese, you, Denise, are only a few of them. I'm really, really grateful for your friendship, and to all of you who are listening, grateful for you as well.
So Aisha,
you know, we really appreciate you joining us on the show today, Aisha, and I want to let you know that we've seen so much growth in you, and we're wishing you very well on your healing journey. To our listeners, if you're interested in Aisha's organization, Three Little Birds, once again, she collects everything from diapers to women's accessories to perishable foods to women's casual and business attire. You can read about and watch her journey with Three Little Birds at facebook.com/3LBS. And you may email her at 3_LBS@hotmail.com for more information on donating. Remember that next week we have Maya on the show with us. Thank you all so much for listening to us today. Reach out to us at radio@abusesurvivalstories.com. I'm your host, Reese Zigazaga.
And I'm your co-host, Denise. You've been listening to Abuse Survival Stories Presents, I Reclaim My Voice. We're going to close off today with Lemoyne's performance of her poem, Forgiveness, which is about coming to terms with forgiving family members, a family member that sexually abused her, but more importantly, forgiving herself. You can reach out to Lemoyne on Twitter at Lala Ardor. That's LALAARDOR. Enjoy the poem, and we will see you next week.
I never got a chance to tell her that I get it. I get that she was looking for her own special kind of love too, that her soul felt empty of the love shape we all need filled, and her childish ears rang with the deafening silence of her love language not being spoken by those granted with the blessing of protecting the children in their home. So she taught me her love language under blankets stitched with secrecy. And I get that. I understand that she was an innocent predator and I was her prey. Fresh from Jamaica and the island way of living, I was never taught to say no to someone that felt like me. So when she touched me, and when it felt right, it didn't feel wrong enough to say no. And when other girls began to play house with me, it didn't feel wrong enough to say no. And when I came out to my boyfriend at 17, it didn't feel wrong enough to say no. And I get that. I've come to recognize why for years I refused to acknowledge the rape of my 6-year-old fairy tale dreams, why I gave credit to the trauma of the Canadian winter for the manifestation of my stutter, why I pretended that I was all right and the scars had healed, why I eyed women like they were meant to me, why I still treated her like the protective family she had failed to be, why I have confronted the abuser many times in my mind but never confronted the abused inside of me. But God speaks in many voices. And at 27, I came to the acceptance that this was the way He spoke to me. And after many years of fighting this foul-breathed, snaggle-toothed, three-toed monster, I understand why the death of my innocence wasn't only for my agony, but for my freedom. That the pain we suffer in life is not meant for our demise, but for our strength. And the crappy-ass truth be told, I'm stronger because she caressed me. I still see her, hug her, laugh with her, and we talk about men a lot. But I never got a chance to tell her that I forgive her. That I forgive her messed up, selfish choices. That I forgive her disrespect of my future when she concentrated on her present. That I forgive her for birthing within me a confusing affection and for laying the track I tried to outrun my struggle on. But most of all, I forgive me. I forgive me for feeling special and normal under those sheets. I forgive me for not telling my mom until only last year spring as we were driving home from work, "Mom, she touched me." I forgive me for thinking I had to prove to myself that I liked men when I really liked both. I forgive me for taking so long to understand that it wasn't my fault. That I was not designed for her misuse and pleasure. That I am worth all that true love is. That I deserve to smile and sing and be happy. Forgiveness is not a gift to those who hurt us. but a gift to ourselves, our sanity, our joys above happiness. It's for those people who need us to survive. Forgiveness helps us lace up our big girl panties and live. It is not a tool to force us to grin and bear it, rather a spiritual calling to send positive vibes of growth into the atmosphere and mean it. And in every sense of the word, I can say, all is forgiven.
Thank you again for tuning in to the program this week. Abuse Survival Stories presents I Reclaim My Voice with co-hosts Reese Zigazaga and Denise Watkus can be heard live every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Please join us again next week.